When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Everybody, welcome to this week's episode of What's Brewing here live. I'm your host, Chris Nozick, joined with my co-host, Dominic Tiano. Dom, it is our last regular season episode of the year. How are you today?
Tired, but here.
Sometimes we bat injured, but yes. We are here. How are you feeling about how the regular season ended? Let's start with the overall. We both missed out. They were not 5-1-0, and they were not 4-1-1. They really put up two stinkers at the end. Are you worried?
No, I think overall it was a better season than what was expected, except for you. Bet on them to finish first, and you lost out on your thousands of dollars on the last day.
My car payment and my house payment and my mortgage and everything. It all just came crashing down
in a 3-1
game against the Senators.
I know. It was really weird the last couple of games. It's like they weren't playing to lose, but they were playing like they had nothing to gain. And really, they didn't. It's like, okay, we win, we got to play Tampa. We lose, we got to play Toronto. And it's like that played on the back of their minds. And I don't know, with the exception of a couple of guys here and there. I mean, I like Andrew Peak's game last night. I like Boqvist's game last night. I like Dahlmark. I like Swayman. The last two games are a wash. Didn't really mean anything. But we got to be happy with where the regular season went.
I would say so. I mean, like you said, I had them winning the division at the beginning of the season just because of everything around them. And they were right there right up until the end. And if not for those, you know, two games, I almost feel like in the game against Ottawa, they started off slow because they knew they just needed a point and they would win the division. And then like somewhere in that third period range, they figured out that Florida had come back and they were now in the lead and they went, oh shit, I guess we want to win the division. And now we don't have Florida's help. So let's try and do it on our own and go for the win. But again, at the end of the day, winning the division just meant arguably a tougher playoff opponent in the Tampa Bay Lightning. So, I mean, like we said in the last couple of weeks, you don't play for the matchup. You got to end up having to play whoever's in front of you, whether it was Tampa, yep, Toronto. I mean, you had teams that didn't know whether they were going to finish in third in the Metro or if they were going to finish in the second wild card or not even in the playoffs. You can only control your game that night, period, end of story.
And I'm not entirely sure that Tampa would be the tougher matchup. Like, Tampa's beatable if the Bruins could stay out of the penalty box, because I think the Bruins were plus 45 in 5-on-5, and Tampa was minus 22 or something like that, 5-on-5. So if the game was played 5-on-5, I think the Bruins could have handled Tampa. It's the power play that scares me. And, of course, Vasilevsky in net. So, Tampa probably has the better goaltender. They probably have the better defenseman in Hedman. They probably got the better forward in Kucherov. And they probably got the better centerman in point. So,
And when you look at it, too, like, you went 1-3 against them this year. But the first one went to an overtime, and the third one went to a shootout. Like, you really had the one blowout win where you won 7-3, and then the one not too long ago where it was the 3-1 game. So, like, overall, you played them close. That's a 3-1 over the course of the regular season, but we have seen Vasilevsky be a lot more human this year. So...
Earlier on, yeah, after he came back from injury, but later on, he's been money.
He's been money for the most overall, yes, but yeah. He has shown moments where he has been a little bit shaky, but he's definitely finding his form. So I'm of all the ones that are on that team right now, I'm glad we don't have to face Vasilevsky in the first round.
Yeah.
But, you know, Toronto isn't going to be a walk in the park as much as people want to think, even though we've kind of beat them up this year.
Well, yeah. I mean, let's take a look at it.
I actually have some numbers here courtesy of Sportsnet. I will pull those up here.
You right off the top, you think the Bruins have the better goaltending, especially if they have to go too deep. You know, the Bruins win that. They have the better defenseman in McAvoy. You could say the better two defensemen and add Lindholm into that. The Leafs have the better goal scorer in Austin Matthews. As much as I love David Pastrnak and what he does, Austin Matthews is, let's put it this way, I'm a firm believer that when Alex Ovechkin breaks Wayne Gretzky's record for most career goals, he's not going to hold it long because Austin Matthews is going to break it.
Yeah, Austin Matthews is definitely going to be in that race.
Especially
if he's 70 goals a season.
You know, their 1-2 down the middle beats the Bruins 1-2 down the middle easily. It's Toronto's not a walk in the park. I think if they can get on their defense and on their goaltending early and often, that it'll ruin whatever confidence Toronto does have.
Yeah, and Andrew points out here, stay out of the box versus the Leafs, force them to play below the half mark and shoot from everywhere on those Leafs goalies, and the boys will be fine, I think. like you said, I would go so far as to say their best three defensemen are probably better than the best defenseman that Toronto has. Because I would put Brandon Carlo in that mix, obviously when healthy.
I'm going to give that one to Riley because of the offense he can provide.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to argue you too hard on it, but I mean, I think Brandon Carlo's a better shutdown defenseman, but I get your point with the two-way game that Morgan Riley brings. I think overall, though, your defensive core is significantly better than theirs. Your goaltending, like you said, is significantly better than theirs. They have the better high-end talent, but I think overall, top to bottom, your roster, you have the advantage.
Yeah. Now, you know, we've talked a lot about this over the last month, maybe even longer. But let's start there tonight, because they have decisions to make. So who's your starter game one? To me, it would have been easy, and it would have been Ullmark, but Swayman's come back, and he had two great games against Toronto after the All-Star break. Who's your starter?
I'm actually trying to pull up their games this season, because I want to see who played better against Toronto. I want to give the advantage to Swayman, because, let's see, right now what I'm finding here, he played them on November 2nd. It was a 33-save performance, gave up two goals in a victory. He played them on March 4th and March 7th, both victories, both one-goal games, 33 saves, 29 saves. Like, he's played them very well this year. I would probably go Swayman. Just because it's Toronto and he's played against them so well, you have such a long layoff, and no matter what they've always done, even with the layoffs during the season, is they've still alternated, so you keep that pattern going.
Yeah, it'll be curious. I don't think they can go wrong with either one starting game one. That's my own personal opinion. Where I'm most, I'm interested with the skaters, starting with defense. I don't know who the starting six are, besides McAvoy, Carlo if he's healthy, Peak, and Lindholm. After that,
I want your thoughts on this, because we have a couple days until Saturday. I'm guessing it's going to be the Saturday night game, hockey night in Canada. Like, it just lines up for that. My question, what do you think of Derek Forbort on a conditioning stint with Providence?
I'm surprised it happened. But he won't be in the lineup on Saturday.
I don't expect him game one
because
by the end of the stretch.
I think Providence plays Friday, Saturday, Sunday this weekend. I'm pretty sure it's a 3-3 that they have. So
I'll have to check their schedule. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure they have at least two. But, I mean, the fact that he's skating, could they really be looking at bringing him back for round two if they get that far? Maybe round three? And would you put him
on later on in round one? Like, I'm pretty sure it's a 3-3. So they'll probably play him game one and game three. They won't play him all three, and they'll give him the middle game as a break. I would want him on the ice, depending on the opponent. And, I don't care what the numbers are. Your penalty killing looks better when he's out there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And if they're able to get him back, let's see. They have Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yep. The Springfield, Bridgeport, and Hartford to end the season. So
play him Friday and play him Sunday.
I would, I mean, he's going to miss game one, and Monday would probably be game two of the series. That would be my guess, Monday or Tuesday. So if he misses game one and game two and is a viable option for game three.
No, I don't use him. I don't use him. I
wouldn't
use him until later in the series. He can play in Providence for six games, I think it is, before.
Can he play in the AHL playoffs?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah. I would give him an extra game down there. You know, you want to make sure he's up to speed, ultimately.
Yeah.
And the AHL playoffs can help with that, so it won't hurt. I mean, think about that, though. You could realistically have Forbort, Wotherspoon, Peak, Shattenkirk all ready to be cycled in on that bottom pairing. Grizzlick as well, yep, because you're seeing that Lindholm-McAvoy pairing quite a bit. I the one thing I don't want to see is Grizzly Carlo.
No, I don't either, because depending on what Toronto does, like, will they go Marner, Matthews, and then Nylander, Tavares?
I think so.
I think that's what they'll do. So, in that case, do you split up McAvoy and Lindholm?
That's tough.
The thing is, you put Lindholm with Carlo, and they can go up against one pair, but who joins McAvoy to go up against the other pair?
Well, let me ask you this, because you saw a pretty good shutdown pair in Peak and Wotherspoon, and let's face it, of the four, Tavares isn't what he used to be. You could look at Lindholm, Carlo to shut down the Matthews pair, and then you could look at Peak and Wotherspoon to shut down the Tavares pair.
Yeah, but you see, it's not just Tavares. It's because if you're in a defensive zone faceoff, pretty good chance Tavares is going to win it. So you're not just worried about Tavares or Nylander. You're worried about the other three guys on the ice as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what they do. And what'd you think of Pat Maroon in his time on the ice?
What game was it? Washington, in front of the Washington net, where he had two guys wrapped up. Like, you know, the team's not going to get pushed around in the playoffs. Not with him.
With him there. Hopefully, do we have any update on Brazo's injury at all?
Not for me.
The lineup too, so I haven't seen anything. So what's your lineup look like? What do your forwards look like? I mean, I know we haven't really solidified anything on defense, but, you know, like you said, we know Lindholm, Carlo, McAvoy, they're all going to be in the lineup. I would leave Shattenkirk in because the power play looks better with him on it.
Yeah, but
and he's a veteran guy.
If Forbert was ready to go, I'd honestly have Forbert and Peak go against Tavares and Nylander, and then have Lindholm, McAvoy against Matthews and Marner.
And then you'd keep Shattenkirk with Carlo?
Pretty much have to if you want him in the lineup.
I mean, last week we talked about it. What about going 7D?
I don't know. I against Toronto, no, because it breaks up the flow.
I agree. I don't like the idea. I wish you were getting more out of a guy like Jacob Lauko or JVR. Like, it just, that third line left wing spot, that fourth line, you're just not getting enough. And I wish you could get something out of it. We have Mike here chiming in. It says, what drives me nuts with the Bruins, they don't look for the safe play when under pressure in their own zone, always looking to make a play.
I think that's coaching, too. They want them to make plays.
Well, I mean, when you have talented guys like McAvoy and Lindholm and, you know, Frederick.
Even Grizzlick is the
point. Grizzlick. Like, why are you going to try to restrict what their options are and force them to play a certain way when they are capable of making plays?
Yeah. And when you got a goalie like Allmark back there who can handle the puck.
Right. He can handle the puck. Swayman can handle the puck pretty well too, all things considered. Like, you know, it's I don't know. I just wouldn't want to restrict those guys. I mean, Charlie McAvoy is very, very easily a Norris candidate most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to get the recognition? Probably not. I mean, you've got guys like Adam Fox, Cale Makar, Quinn Hughes. All those guys are going to grab the spotlight. But McAvoy's right up there with them. And on his game, so is Hampus Lindholm.
Yeah, it's a coaching thing. It's not that they're trying to do it consciously on their own. It's what's been driven into them all season long.
So with it being a coaching thing, if they don't get out of the first round, are you having Montgomery on the hot seat? Given how they ended the season, given how well they were last season out, you know, first and done, if they're first and done again, there's a lot of people in the Boston radio space, we'll say, who are saying he should be fired. Do you have any agreement?
No, not based on this season. But last week I was adamant somebody needed to pay for last season.
So if they are out in the first round this year, if they lose to Toronto of all the teams, based on how they finished the season, based on the first round elimination, based on some of the stylistic designations that come down from the coach, are you putting the coach on the hot seat?
No. No, this team was not expected to be where they are. Why are they coaching?
I agree. Hey, I'm the one who had them winning the division. Yeah, all I'm saying is it's a sentiment around here.
You can't blame the coaches for anything this season. Last season, yes. And if you were going to fire the coach, it should have been done last season. Not for anything that happens this season. And it'd be kind of stupid for them to fire him now for last season's failure.
Yeah.
Like, what's your excuse?
Why'd you wait a year?
Yeah.
Well, because you thought he could do it this year. Okay, well, I mean, he's kind of made, you know, a really good thing out of a team that, I mean, a lot of people were looking at this team as, at best, a wild card team.
Yeah.
And they were one point, essentially, away from winning the fucking division.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what more did you want from the coaching staff? That's my question.
Exactly. So, I don't know. We haven't solved the question about what happens on defense. I think we did. I don't think Waterspoon is in my starting six.
I can understand that because Shattenkirk has the experience and he can play on his offside. I would pair him with Carlo, who is a strong stay-at-home defenseman. It helps your power play. I think he's got to be in.
Yeah, and I think Grizzlick's got to be in too. I like just Shattenkirk and Grizzlick's puck moving abilities.
Yeah, and you could do Grizzlick, McAvoy, Lindholm, Carlo, Shattenkirk, and Peak. You can do that as well.
You could also do Grizzlick and Peak.
Yeah. Yep. Like, and you know what? Nolan Montgomery will probably see all of those combinations at some point during the game. That's the advantage that he has in having McAvoy, Lindholm, and Carlo, who are all capable of playing 25 minutes a night. You don't want them to be doing it every night, but you can lean on them to do it.
Yeah. Now, up front, I'm a little bit firmer. You don't touch line one and two.
Now, does your line one and two have Jake DeBrusk on the wing?
Yes.
Okay, so you're keeping the Marchand, Coyle, DeBrusk.
Yep.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah, that's line two, by the way, because I cannot call a line that has David Pastrnak on it line two.
Yeah, and I'm not moving Danton Heinen off that line. He's a piece that fits. And we're going to come back to Danton Heinen in a minute. I want to get to the line first.
Yeah. Now, I like Maroon, Bolquist, and Lauko. I like what they did.
Okay.
Together. And always a fan of Frederick and Geeky together. The problem is who's the third guy?
I bring Beecher back up.
I think they will, because if you remember, we went through the same thing last week, and I think we agreed we wouldn't mind seeing Beecher between Geeky and Frederick, or Boqvist in between him and have Beecher on the fourth line. I think we both preferred Boqvist on the fourth line.
I like Boqvist better on the fourth line. I don't hate the idea because he can possess the puck pretty well down the middle, and he can facilitate. And, you know, Trent Frederick does have that offensive upside, and I think Morgan Geeky's gaining confidence in his shot. So I don't hate the idea of it being Boqvist. I think you're better off with the speed of Beecher, though, with those two guys.
Yeah, I think we'll see Beecher up in time for game one.
I would think so. That's got to be the lineup. And it sucks because that puts JVR on the bench, but I don't think he's fully back yet as far as
health. I don't think he is either. So you got to do what you got to do. Sometimes being a coach means making the difficult and unpopular decisions.
And that puts who else is sitting at that point?
That's it.
That's
it'll
it.
Be
yeah.
JVR.
Defenseman.
Be JVR and a defenseman.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm okay with that. JVR and Wotherspoon are the two basically healthy scratches, and I wouldn't even consider JVR a healthy scratch. I think he's not healthy 100%. And right now, you get more out of that bottom six than you do by putting JVR in there.
Yeah.
Before he's ready.
I saw one good rush from him last night.
Yeah, I think he's got a little bit in the tank, but, I mean, right now the tank is so barren, it's just not worth putting him in there. Now, do you call someone up as, like, a black ace to kind of sit with the healthy scratches?
No. Let Providence get ready for their playoff push. That's just
not
as valuable.
Someone.
What's that?
Not so you need someone.
Right.
And I'm leaving Lori down in Providence. I want him to play Providence playoffs.
That's valuable to them. I know people want their shiny new toy right away, but you just can't put a measurement on how important even an American League playoff push is for these guys and their development.
Right, especially for someone who's been playing defense for what, less than 5 years, 6 years?
Yeah, whatever it was.
Like, let him get playoff hockey under
his
belt.
He played 25 minutes the last game.
He's going to play on the penalty kill. He's going to play on the power play.
Yeah.
He's going to play 5-on-5. He's going to play in so many areas that he's not playing in at all on the ninth floor.
Right. Exactly.
And I don't think he's going to lament not playing in the Stanley Cup playoffs when he's not on the ice.
Right. Exactly. And he's got a good developmental coach there in Ryan Mougenel. He's got Adam McQuaid there to lean on. These are not bad things for him.
No,
they're not.
The biggest thing he has is time at practice.
Yeah.
As Allen Iverson, we're talking about practice.
Yeah.
Like, it's not the NHL schedule of game, day off, light skate, game, day off.
Now, if I remember correctly, I think it was Mark Dibber posted a picture last week of Lori doing extra work with Adam McQuaid after practice.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's what he needs to do. It's not a bad thing.
He's not getting that. He's not getting that one-on-one coaching at the NHL level.
The
NHL.
Not a developmental league.
Right. And chance in the NHL, if you're playing Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, for example, you got no practice time that week.
No.
It's in the CBA. You have to have so much time off. There's no such thing in the American Hockey League.
Right. He needs the one-on-one time. He's getting the one-on-one time. and he's going to be so much better. He's a full-time NHL player next year because he's in the AHL right now, mm-hmm. period.
Yep.
You know, and people want to look ahead a little bit. I mean, think about this. You're going to have Poitras on an ELC. You're going to have Lauri on an ELC. You're still going to have Brazeau signed on an ELC. You're going to have Lauko on ELC-type money. Like, this team is going to have, you know, you got Wotherspoon at 800K. Like,
yep.
This team is going to have a lot of cap space to utilize. And, I mean, we're still going to have to figure out the goaltending, but that's what this your playoff is for. Who did you say you would start in net game one? I said Swayman.
I don't think you can go wrong with either one, but I got to give the nod to Ullmark.
It's the same thing. Like flip a fucking coin. It doesn't matter. I don't think you're going to win or lose because you started Swayman or Ullmark. Now, what you need to do is you need to figure out whichever one you start. If he just doesn't have it, they let up a softie in the first, like, 5 minutes, you can't be afraid to make the switch and say, our bad, let's go to the other one. But you also have to see how the whole team is. You got, what, 4 days off?
Yeah. Honestly, and we know the Bruins don't do well when coming off a long layoff.
No, they don't. But the other thing they don't do well in is when they do back-to-back starts. And it doesn't matter how long the layoff has been. That's why I'm saying stick with Swayman. Like, the alternating starting, regardless of time off, has gotten you this far. And Swayman has played well against Toronto all season. There's no need to divert away from it. But at the same time, Allmark's been playing well. He's got 4 days off. Let's see what you got. Again, flip a coin. I literally flip a coin right before the – prepare them both to start.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. You know?
Yeah.
You're asking me to pick one? I would go to the team. It doesn't matter.
I bet Toronto's coaching staff is just wishing they had that dilemma, right? Actually, right? You know what? They probably do have that dilemma. Or Wall.
But it's on the opposite side. Who's going to suck
right.
left?
Right.
Now, if you're Toronto, who are you putting in net?
A week ago, I would have said Samsonov or Samsonov, whichever way you want to pronounce it.
Whichever way he wants it today.
You know, he changes his mind like I change underwear. I think I have to go with him. I have to. Like, that's what you brought him in for?
I'm trying to pull up both of their numbers. Let's see. Samsonov in the last, Wall is 2-3 in his last five games. He's given up 4-2, 4-1, and 5. Meanwhile, Samsonov in his last five is 3-2. He's given up 5-6, 2-2, and 4. Oof.
Yeah, but look at the previous 20 before that.
I mean, again, it's a tough decision either way. I mean, they could go off the map. They could start Jones.
They could. You know, I liken it to the early 70s with the Bruins. Do you start Jerry Cheevers or do you start Eddie Johnston? Like, you weren't even born then. I remember it. I remember game 6 against the New York Rangers. They started Eddie in net. And then remember Brad Park going in on a breakaway. Johnson going down, Park putting it up, but hits the crossbar and goes over the glass. He never touched the puck. Johnson did. And the whole bench jumped out on the ice to congratulate him. It's like, fuck, man, he never even touched the puck. You know, it's just the aura that they had around them. And that's why I like an Ullmark and Swayman too, is they just have that aura that, you know, teams are thinking, oh, which one are we going to face?
Yeah. And they're similar but yet different enough that you have to approach them different. Honestly, like, if I'm Montgomery, I might let my guys know privately, hey, you're the starter. In the media, though, we're playing it off as we don't know. Because it also keeps Toronto guessing.
Yeah. Because it does change your plan of attack. It really does. Like, if I'm Toronto, I don't – and I know you said Swayman's been okay. But lately, he really hasn't been. I don't want Ullmark handling the puck. I don't mind so much sleep.
Yeah, I mean, does your starting goaltender get determined at all by who they put in net?
No.
Okay, just making sure. And it's funny because Martin Jones has been their best goaltender. He has the highest save percentage and he has the lowest goals against average. It's just, who would have thought Martin Jones at 34 years of age would have come in and saved the Toronto Maple Leafs season this year?
Well, if they go down 3-0 and they've used both Samsonov and Wall and they look terrible, you might expect Jones to get the game 4 start. But I would,
at that point, because that means you've seen Samsonov go probably twice.
Yeah.
Joseph Wall has gone at least once, and neither one of them look good. At that point, you're desperate to save your season. You go back to the guy who saved it during the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
I would. I mean, he went 11-7 for him and saved their season.
Yeah.
But Joseph Wall has been about a 500 goaltender all year, so he's 12-11. Roughly similar numbers to Martin. I don't know. It's 40 starts for Samsonov, though. If I'm Toronto, I don't have full confidence in any of them going against the Bruins.
Well, so much is going to come into play in this series. Like, specialty teams will be huge. Absolutely huge in this series.
Like Andrew said, you've got to stay out of the box against them. Let them play into the physicality because, you know, now they have guys on their roster who will play into it in Domi, Bertuzzi, trying to think of who they have on defense there. Simone.
But on the same hand, though, when you do get a power play, you have to make them pay.
I actually think playing against them will probably help their power play. I think Toronto's penalty kill isn't as potent as other ones, and I think that could be something that helps get the Bruins' power play back kind of in the swing of things. Mike says, I'm wondering about having Ullmark start home games and Swayman on the road in this series. Would that be too long of a break between games for the goalies? Would you go road versus home?
Because
Swayman's better.
I wouldn't want to, because as it's looking right now, they're playing Saturday, Monday, because the Celtics play Sunday. Okay, so then you're looking at Wednesday, maybe Thursday, and Saturday in Toronto, because they'll want Saturday for hockey night in Canada.
Yeah.
So whoever's playing Monday, if it's Ullmark at home, he's not seeing the ice again until they get back home after the Saturday game, which will be a week later, the Monday. Or if there's a sweep, could be 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Or the reverse sweep. They could get their season could end too in a reverse sweep. But let's say they swept them. It'd be 2 weeks between starts.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be interesting to see how they handle the goalies. I think one thing is for sure, we're going to see both of them.
I was confident about that. Now I'm not so sure.
Well, the reason why I say that too is it doesn't matter. Pick your game one starter. You're going with Allmark. Fine. Let's go with Allmark. Let's say he plays really, really well in game one and really, really well in game two. Let's say you go back to him for game two. Well, for one thing, we've not seen three consecutive starts for well over 3 months for any one goaltender. They've been flipping back and forth so long. Even if you get, let's say, 925 save percentage over those two games, I think you still would see Swayman in game three for a couple reasons. One, even if you lose game three, you're going back to Allmark for game four. If Swayman plays well, now you have two goaltenders who are playing well. You can still go back to Allmark for game four. I just think no matter what we see in four games, we're going to see both goalies. I don't know what it's going to be as far as – because if you put a fresh goalie in game three and you go up 3-0, now you can put the stranglehold on by going back to Allmark and try and sweep them. I just think we're going to see them both. I don't think Montgomery is going to try and fall back on what didn't work last year.
I wouldn't be surprised either way. I wouldn't be surprised if they ride one goaltender. It just would not surprise me.
It would surprise me just based off of what he's been saying all season.
Well, he hasn't said it in months. He said it once earlier in the season. I think it was before Christmas. He hasn't repeated that since.
He said it on the morning radio show, I want to say in February, where he said that they were planning on using both goaltenders in the playoffs.
Okay, whenever it was. He's only said it once.
I guess so.
And it hasn't been repeated since.
I don't know. Flip a coin each game. That's it. Flip a coin each game. You'll get great goaltending from either one. Swayman, I think, realizes right now he's playing for a contract in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. If he play well enough in the playoffs, he's gonna get paid, regardless. Mm-hmm. And Allmark is got one more year on his deal. We've talked about that ad nauseum. With the cap space they're going to have, I mean, you could see this tandem one more time.
Yeah. I expect to.
You think they'll trade Bussy in the offseason?
Yeah, I do. Or they'll try and put it through waivers. But I think they're going to ride Allmark and Swayman for one more year.
Yeah. I feel like the teams that would look at a goaltender are, you know, like your New Jersey Devils, for instance. I think they have other guys earmarked that they would pay more for. You know, a Markstrom. Guy like Markstrom, possibly Soros from Nashville. You know, there's going to be other guys available that you don't have to give up one of your Vezina caliber pairing. They're both Vezina caliber.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just think they have to do something with the money that they have. The free agent pool isn't that great, so why not keep them around for 1 year?
Right now, they're projected to have 23 plus million in cap space as of right now. per cap friendly. So that's plenty of money to pay for both of them.
Yep.
Now, I mentioned earlier we were going to circle back to Danton Heinen and Trent Frederick specifically as well. Nesson's seventh player award went to Trent Frederick. How do you feel about that?
Wrong. For me, it's Danton Heinen.
I feel like if you were going to pull Danton Heinen out of the equation, do you still think Trent Frederick would be the winner? I agree with you. I think Danton Heinen should have been the winner simply because the only other person that I really want to defend and make a case for, he played 30 more games. Danton Heinen did. So when it comes to the duration of the season, I have to go with Heinen over him.
Yeah, look, fans are going to hate me for saying this, but you ask me how I feel, I'm going to tell you. Fans shouldn't have a vote. Let the media decide, because when fans have a vote, it becomes a popularity contest.
Trent Frederick wins the seventh player award.
Right. If people were being honest when they voted, Danton Heinen came in on a PTO, stuck around, signed, what was it, 8 games into the season, and put up the same numbers as Trent Frederick did, who makes $2.3 million.
Something like that, yeah.
Let the media decide.
Trent Frederick played 82 games, put up 40 points. Danton Heinen put up 36 points in 74 games. He's also solidified what we're calling the top line with Pastrnak on it. He plays 14 minutes a night versus 13:45 for Frederick. Now, the only other person that I want to even give consideration to doesn't have the points. He played 41 games, averaged 17:43 of ice time. And that's Parker Wotherspoon. Without him, your seventh defenseman is Jacob Zboril, who you dealt with a draft pick to get Andrew Peak. Like, you had to pay another team to take him so that you could get your current sixth defenseman. Without Parker Wotherspoon stepping up, this decor falls apart.
Not enough games played for me.
That's why I said it has to go to Danton Heinen. But the only, like, Parker Wotherspoon is the only other person. Like, I'm sorry, but Charlie Coyle shouldn't have even qualified for the award.
No. Now, you can make an argument for Morgan Geeky.
You can make an argument, but what did he exceed expectations? Sure. 39 points over 76 games. That's kind of a little bit more than the projected jump than most people who watched what he was able to do in Seattle expected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they signed him, they said he's going to have an expanded role, which he has. He's played wing, he's played center, he's played top line, he's played middle, he's played everywhere. Jack of all trades, and he's played well overall all year. Mm-hmm. No complaints. But just like with Trent Frederick, it's more – he didn't deviate significantly above the norm from what you would have expected from him. Like, the other person
No, JBR has been too cold for the last 3 months.
Oh, for the last few months, absolutely. But coming in, 38 points in 71 games, like if he hadn't gotten sick and he had kept
different
up.
Different story.
He's the leader in the clubhouse for it, in my opinion.
Yeah. So, you know, I think over the last few years, the award's been a popularity contest more than anything.
Yeah. Again, Kevin Shattenkirk probably producing a little bit more than we would have expected from the back end. That's what you get from a veteran guy for $1 million, but not enough to consider the award. It 1,000% should have gone to Danton Heinen.
Yep.
and I don't think it's even all that close. Again, in my opinion, the second place person should have been Parker Weatherspoon in a distant second, simply because the game's played.
Yeah. I won't argue with that.
Or you're looking at Ian Mitchell as your seventh defenseman all year. Like, it just – what Weatherspoon solidified was that missing seventh defenseman spot who could go into your lineup, come out, play left, play right. He just – he was solid for over 17 minutes a night.
And I think had Weatherspoon not worked out, somebody else would have got the chance, like Regula. I think it was trial and error. They started with
Mitchell.
Didn't work out. They tried with Weatherspoon. It worked out. But I think if Weatherspoon, that's why they brought these guys in, to try them to see
right.
who worked out. Same thing up front with Boqvist and Richard and those guys. It was, okay, let's bring these guys in. Let's see which one works out. We'll give them all two-way contracts. Send them to Providence if they don't pan out.
Yep. And Providence is better for it because they're going into the playoffs. And you've had that. We've always heard them talk about internal competition.
Mm-hmm.
And so guys have floated up from that. I mean, has Jacob Lauko had the best season? No, 10 points in 60 games. But he's also 23 years old. There's still room to grow. I'm interested to see how he comes into camp next year.
Yeah. I mean, take a look at Steen. How many games did Steen get? And didn't work out. They sent him back down to Providence. Let's bring Boqvist up. Let's see. I think they gave Richard a chance first, right? Richard and then Boqvist.
Richard got his 9 games, and then I think they brought up Boqvist after that.
Yeah.
And Boqvist, I think Boqvist got the edge because he could also play down the middle.
Yeah.
And they needed help down the middle for faceoffs and stuff. And, again, like we talked about at nauseam, one guy wasn't going to fix the problem, but having him there gave you another option.
Mm-hmm.
And he's fared pretty well. He is – where is he? Right here. He's 171. Nope. He has won 51 draws and only lost 92. So it was about 35%, 36%.
Yeah.
So, Beecher obviously up there right there with Zaka at 54 and some change, just shy of 55%. You don't have Bergeron. You don't have a 70% faceoff guy anymore. This is what that looks like.
Yep.
54, 54, and 51 for your top three guys.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. You got shots on goal, saves, puck lines, money lines, you can bet it all. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
But, you know, they got better as the season moved along.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Charlie Coyle has taken over 1,400 faceoffs.
Faceoffs, yeah.
Like, that's a ridiculous number.
I remember when he was just over 50%. Now he's almost at 55.
He's at 51.6. Zaka is at 55.
Zaka's at 50, almost 55.
But he's taken, let's see, doing this math, he's taken over 1,000 himself.
Yeah.
I mean, between the two of them, you're talking.
There was a point when he was just barely over 50%.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I mean, he again between the two of them, that's 2,500 faceoffs.
Mm-hmm.
That's them basically saying you're gonna figure this shit out.
Yeah.
Like.
And they do.
Oh, absolutely. Again, you're not going to get Bergeron-esque numbers, but very few players in the league are going to win 7 out of 10. That's what made Bergeron special.
Yeah.
So.
Well, 6 out of 10.
Six and a half out of 10. I'm curious now what his career faceoff percentage was. It was real good, though. Any other thoughts that you can think of that I have neglected to mention so far? There's one other thing that I want to touch on before we wrap up.
We've got to talk about Jack Edwards.
Yes, we do. As I say, we're only at about 7:30, so I know you're batting a little injured, so I didn't know if you might want to get to Jack Edwards and wrap up a little early tonight.
Well, Jack takes a lot of heat. But I tell you, I love Jack, and I'm really disappointed here in Canada. Like Sportsnet, NHL Center Ice, we almost always used to get the Nesson feed over the other teams. So it didn't matter who the Bruins were playing. If Sportsnet was carrying the game, it was always the Nesson feed, and we always got to hear Jack and Brick call the game. Same with NHL Center Ice. But with the issues Nesson's been having with their quality and shit, they haven't carried a Nesson feed in, I bet you, 3 weeks.
Wow. I don't blame them.
I forget the game it was, but partway through the first period, they had to change to the other team feed. Because the Nesson one sucks so bad, and they haven't had them on since. The
product is terrible.
So I missed Jack's call last night. I won't have him for the playoffs because being in Canada, it'll be Hockey Night in Canada doing their own broadcast. So I've already seen Jack's last performance for me, and I tell you, I'm going to miss him. Yeah, he was different. Yeah, he was a homer. But you know what? Few knew the game like he does.
The thing with Jack being a homer, he's a local regional guy. He's not a national guy.
Right. So and people forget that.
He should be a homer. Like, he should have a little bit of favoritism towards his home team. That's okay. He wasn't doing the TNT national broadcast. He wasn't doing the ESPN national broadcast. That's what pisses me off about those broadcasts is when they won't shut up about one thing. And 9 times out of 10, it's not about the game on the ice.
Right. But you have to understand that in Canada, Nesson was, on many occasions, the national feed.
He was going to attract Bruins fans.
Yeah.
That's why. Because the excitement that he brought, sometimes his antics were a little out there, you know, and you have sayings now, things like the tumbling muffin, you know. The
serpentine road.
The pirouette from Zdeno Chara.
Yeah, or with the point of the dagger at their throats.
Yep. The Leafs are mulch again.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, he cared about the team. He cared mm-hmm. about his craft. And
yeah.
He cared about the conveying the experience. I mean, think about how often he talked about the shaking of the building, even. You know, he was able to capture an essence of the game that yeah, normally had to be in the building for. And his passion for it showed every time. Like, there, without a doubt. Even when he wasn't feeling well, he sometimes, you know, he battled injured. He would play with a sore throat sometimes, and you could tell he didn't have his A game, but he still fucking brought it.
Yeah. And I want to say this. So Reed Duffy, who's a friend of mine, was the play-by-play voice of the Hamilton, now Brantford Bulldogs in the OHL. Jack mentored him in many ways. Always gave him advice. You know, things to do, things not to do. Reed is an excellent play-by-play guy. To me, the best in the CHL. And I really hope that, you know, he throws his name in the ring. Unfortunately, he's not a national guy. He's you know, an Ontario guy, just like Jack was a nothing guy, right? But I think Bruins fans would love Reed on a play-by-play.
Yeah. I know earlier in the year, what's his name? I think it was Faust, Adam Alex.
Yeah.
I don't remember the first name correctly off the top of my head, but he filled in a couple times when Jack was on vacation and had some planned absences, and he did very, very well. I'm sure he is probably a front runner for the role just because he's already got that experience with the crew. But, you know, whoever replaces Jack has big shoes to fill.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And it just, it's going to be weird without him. I'm so sorry for you guys up in Canada who won't get that last Nesson feed in the playoffs, just because it's, you know, he's going to bring it. And,
yep.
And that's, you know, Bruins games won't be the same without Jack. They aren't the same on the radio without Dave Gosher.
Or Bob Wilson before him.
Yep. It's a part of the game, but Jack is, you know, love him, hate him, he's called some incredible moments, and you can't take that away from him.
No, and he deserves to go out the way he wants to go out. My understanding is that Charlie Jacobs went to bat for him, said they wanted Jack to do the 100th anniversary season. And
are you saying he was considering he retiring before this year?
That's my understanding. Yeah. So, okay. but Charlie went to bat, said, "Oh, we want you to do our 100th," because I think Jack admitted he knew there was a problem in his speech a year ago. The doctors couldn't find out why. He's been doing speech therapy and.
That's what he was talking about earlier this year. He put a statement out. Yeah, I remember.
So, you know, I just can't imagine doing the 100th anniversary with anybody else calling the games than Jack. It wouldn't have been the same.
No, it wouldn't have. No, absolutely. And to have them have the year that they had unexpectedly gave us a lot more of those Jack moments.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully... I believe Nesson carries just the first round. I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, that's it. They only have the rights for round one. After that, they all become national.
You know, appreciate these last few games of Jack because that's it. You know, it's the same thing. As great as what's his name does, the anthem singer there.
Todd Angeli.
Todd Angeli, thank you. As great of a job as he does. I mean, tell me there would not have been an amazing moment this year if they had Renee Rancourt do one anthem.
Yeah. Yeah, and they should have. They really should have. That
home game against Ottawa would have been a perfect moment for it. The last game of the last regular season game of the 100th season, you bring the Garden legend back. Like, it would have been – I'm not complaining about Todd Angeli by any stretch.
No, neither am I. But I think – a game against Buffalo. Would have been best because wasn't it? I'm almost positive after the Boston Marathon bombings, the game, the very next game was against Buffalo.
I don't remember the opponent, and that sucks because I was at that game.
Yeah, because they all went stood around center ice and saluted the fans and did the Boston Strong thing, where everybody in unison. Rene stopped singing and the crowd took over.
He sang one line.
Yeah, I think that would have been a good one.
Yeah. I've been saying it ever since he announced his retirement that they should bring him back for a special occasion event. Mm-hmm. And again, nothing against Angeli, nothing against whoever will replace Jack Edwards. It's just when these guys have been doing it for.
Well, Reddy Corps started, I think, in 1976.
I was going to say, longer for him.
Yeah. But, so, 76 until, like, it was 50 years.
Yeah.
Was he not?
Yeah, they introduced him as a Garden Legend for a reason.
Yeah. Like, half their existence, Reddy Rancor sang the national anthem for him. Why not have one special?
I don't know if he has some sort of health problem that would prevent him from doing it. I don't believe so, but obviously these are guys that we want to extend our best wishes to because they've been a huge part of the organization for so long, and it just won't be the same without them.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
Do you have any final thoughts? I know normally we go till about 8 o'clock, but I know you're battling injured, so I don't want to keep you too late unless you got it in you to keep going. But
we'll keep going.
We've got the preview against the Toronto, which we've kind of talked about ad nauseum. What other thoughts do you have?
Want to go over the other Eastern Conference series, Tampa and Florida?
Ruins we can go over that, sure. Oftentimes I go off script with other teams, and you want to come back to the Bruins. So
yeah, but it's worth talking about because you know we could end up facing them later on. But I don't know what to make of that one. I think Tampa will give Florida a good run.
I think. Tampa takes it in six.
I think you're right because Florida is just going to get into penalty trouble against them, and it's going to kill them. I really do.
And Vasilevsky or Bobrovsky, who are you taking?
Oh, Vasi, easy.
There you go. I don't know. I don't know if Vasilevsky can carry them all the way, but he will get them past the Panthers. Because he can shut down their – I mean, think about it. Tkachuk will do something stupid. Bennett will get shut down. He scored all his goals during the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, they don't have enough. And their defense, the offense of Tampa can find all the holes in that Florida defense.
Yeah, was Ekblad back last night?
I don't know. I didn't notice. I didn't notice. attention to that game to notice. So it's going to be an interesting matchup and it's going to be close. I just, you know, right now off the cuff, I would say Tampa in six.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that one. So let's go over to the Metro. We got Carolina and Washington. Islanders.
Because you got the Rangers against Washington.
You know what? Carolina Islanders will probably be the most boring series to watch.
Probably.
But I think the Islanders are a bad matchup for Carolina.
Yes.
I really do.
I would go so far as to say the Islanders in seven.
I was thinking that. I wanted to say it. I think it goes seven and it could go either way.
Because... well, the other thing with Carolina is they always find a way to lose in the conference final.
Yeah.
So the question is do they get to the conference final and then lose, or do they just not make it there at all?
I don't know. The Islanders, to me, are a bad, bad matchup for them. And as boring as that series is going to be, that's going to make it worthwhile watching.
Yeah. I don't know.
Say Islanders in seven? I agree. I'm going to go Islanders.
I think I would go Islanders in seven because there's just something about Carolina. They just can't get over that hump.
And Patrick Waugh, just never know what he's going to do.
No. I would say the Rangers probably gentlemen sweep the Capitals, though. That's probably a five-gamer.
You don't think the Caps could take two?
Not with their goaltending. They're minus 37 goal differential. The Rangers are a plus 53. Like, what are we really talking about? The Capitals ain't ready for what they're about to face.
I'm going to say Rangers in six, but we agree it's the Rangers.
I don't see how the Rangers drop more than one. I think it's one in Washington that they drop.
Want to do the Western Conference?
Sure.
Okay.
That was going to be interesting.
Where do you want to start?
Let's see. So you've got the Stars facing off against the Kings in the first round.
And I'm going to say Dallas in six.
See, I want to say Dallas in six as well. The Kings have been a tough out the last couple of years. They just don't seem to have the goaltending this year that they have in the past, though. I think they've taken a bit of a step backwards this year.
Yeah. By the way, did you see Quentin Byfield missed out on his on one of his bonuses?
Oh, no. By how much?
By one goal.
Oh, well, put the puck in the net. There's a reason why it's an incentive.
Yeah, he hit on a bunch of them, but there was another one for $212,000. He missed out by a goal.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. You're saying
I'm going to say Dallas in five. That's my official.
In five.
Pick.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next.
Vancouver, Nashville.
Now, that's interesting. First of all, are you surprised Nashville is there?
No.
You're not?
No. Look at the teams that they outbattle. Am I surprised that they're the first wild card? Sure, over the Kings. But the Kings have one more game. So the Kings could actually, I think, surpass them. I think they have the tiebreaker. No, they won't because they don't have regulation wins. I think regulation wins is the first tiebreaker, and that would go to Nashville.
Yeah.
So, no. I was expecting L.A. to be in the top three in their division. But Nashville, when you compare them to the Blues, the Wild, the Flames, the Kraken, the Yotes, like, no, I'm not surprised they're in there.
Okay, how many do you think they take from Vancouver?
They've been on a tear.
Yeah. And you never know what Saros is capable of doing.
And Demko's coming in flat.
Yeah.
I would actually pick Nashville in six.
See, I was going to say Vancouver in six. So that's one we don't agree on.
I don't like Demko coming in cold.
I think he gets it.
Maybe?
I think he gets it.
But Saros on fire the way that he is, I just
I don't
know.
It's hard to go against him, right?
Plus, you got the play that Roman Yossi's been making lately.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I think Nashville can get around. Because also, like you said, who actually thought Nashville was going to be this competitive?
Okay, so we disagree on one series for now. Who's next?
Then you have Winnipeg with the home ice advantage over Colorado. And Edmonton.
Let's come back to that one.
So Edmonton against Vegas.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, you want to go back to Colorado-Winnipeg?
Yeah, let's go back to Colorado-Winnipeg.
I got Winnipeg in five.
No, in five?
Yep. Alexander Georgiev is spent. Have you seen him lately? He's given up almost 4 or 5 goals a game in the last week and a half. He is burnt. They have overplayed him so much. And their only other option is a guy with 12 NHL starts. It's not good in goal for Colorado. And Winnipeg is looking to make a statement.
See, I was going to say Winnipeg in seven, but now...
And Winnipeg has home ice.
And they just clobbered them in Colorado. Wasn't that game in Colorado?
I believe that one was in Colorado. It was 7-3 or something.
Yeah. I'm going to go Winnipeg in six.
You think six?
Yeah.
I should probably write these down.
It doesn't matter. We agree on all the teams.
That's true.
Except Nashville.
Now, Edmonton, Vegas.
It's so hard to bet against Vegas.
It is so hard.
But I'm going to have to say... Edmonton in seven.
That's what I'm leaning towards. But then I look at the Vegas defense and I just sit there and I go, they just got bolstered with that 8-year Hanifin deal.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and they're getting Stone back, of course.
Of course. Pearl
playing amazing, of course. Like, it's just.
How rusty are they going to be? How rusty is Hurdle going to be? How rusty is Stone going to be? They're not going to make an impact right away.
He's already back in the lineup, and he's made that power play look amazing. Plus, at the end of the day, Edmonton's goaltending. It's still Campbell. It's still Skinner.
But I take Edmonton's goaltending over Toronto's any day of the week.
Oh, well, yeah, but Toronto's not playing Vegas.
Well, yeah.
If it was Toronto-Vegas, I'd pick Vegas in four. I'm leaning towards Vegas in seven. And also, we can add to the drama of Draisaitl, McDavid in their next contracts, because of course.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Edmonton in seven. So we disagree on two.
That's it. Wow.
Edmonton.
We're going to be wrong on all but the two.
I got Edmonton. You got
Vegas.
Vegas. And I got
Vegas. We're both going seven on it.
Yeah. And I got Vancouver and you got Nashville.
Yeah. I think Nashville and what I say, six.
Yeah, but you make a good case for them, though. Now you got me thinking.
Well, I consider that a win. If I've got you at least double-checking your pick, that's a win in my book.
I'm glad I didn't put in my NHL, what do you call it? Pick your brackets. Didn't get to put it in yet.
I have to put one in, too.
Nashville. Yeah, I'm sticking with Edmonton. Sorry, you're not going to convince me on that one.
It's by the narrowest of margins. I look at that defense and the goaltending, and just Vegas knows what they're doing in both of those aspects of the game. The advantage, obviously, up front with McDavid and Dreisel. The biggest thing is they're both healthy going into the playoffs. And we've seen what a healthy Dreisaitl can do. We've seen what a healthy McDavid can do. And, my God, can they elevate. But think about that decor in Vegas. Martinez, Theodore, Hanifin, White Cloud.
Yeah, shit.
I'm missing names.
Ask me next episode. I might change my mind on that one.
Well, you'll have seen some games.
Well, yeah, but it won't be seven. Speaking of Vegas, so with Hanifin signing, there's no way they can keep Martinez for next year.
No, I is he under contract or no? I have to pull him up on.
No, I believe he's a UFA, is he not?
I'm pulling up their cap friendly right now. Vegas. Yeah. Petrangelo, Martinez, Theodore, McNabb, Whitecloud, Haig, Hanifin, and Hutton all on defense.
Martinez is a UFA, though, right?
He will be a UFA going into next season, yeah. So when this one.
So what's he earning this year?
5.25, and he's 36 years old.
Okay. If you're the Bruins, would you bring him in on a 1-year deal?
How much?
I don't know. You tell me. What's the max you go for?
Let's see. He plays the left side, which is where you really need some help. But then again, you also have Mason Lowry coming in. So I wouldn't want to do – I wouldn't go more – I would go as long as 2 years on Martinez. But,
okay. Just at the same time that Lowry's ELC expires, right?
Yeah, because then you can use some of that Martinez money to re-sign Lowry. Lowry's going to be one of those guys where I don't think he gets a 3-year bridge deal. I think he's going to get paid when that time comes.
I think so, too.
I think you're looking at like an 8x8 minimum for Lowry if his growth continues.
He's got 2 years left or one?
Lowry? I'm going to pull it up. I need a new
one. He's only got 1 year left. Because his ELC was for 2 years, I think.
Oh, I have to go down to the Providence section here. Mason Lowry, ELC, expires after 24-25. So he's got this year and next year. But he'll be 25. So
he'll get a bridge deal. He'll get a 1 or 2 year bridge deal.
Yeah, okay.
But still, you could do a 2 year for Martinez. Well, what's the max you pay for?
Yeah, you're probably looking at a 1 year, $5 million bridge deal for Lowry.
Okay, so what's the max thing you give Martinez for 2 years? Because there's nothing wrong with playing Lowry on your third pair next year. Give him some power play time.
Yeah, and you're letting Grizzlick go. You're letting
Forbert go. Shattenkirk.
On.
You've got Waterspoon as your seventh.
I would try to get him in that 5 to 6 range. I mean, I don't think he's going to be getting deals that are in that 7, 8, 9 range, even at 36 for a couple of years. So I would say I wouldn't go higher than 6. Just because you have cap space, use it to your advantage.
Yeah.
And if he's a piece that you can bring in, think about that. That means your top four is Lindholm, McAvoy, Martinez, Carlo, with Lowry and Peak on your third pair. And again, you can move that around. You can do Martinez and Peak as your third pair with Lowry and Carlo. Like,
that's a pretty darn good top six.
With Waterspoon as your seven.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with paying a little extra. And Martinez has a cup to his name, too. Let's not forget that. So you're paying a little bit for that, too. My God, though, I'd much rather see them bring in Pietrangelo if they can make him available, but I don't see that in a million years.
Yeah, I don't see that either.
But, yeah, with Hanifin's deal kicks in at 7.35. So I don't think Martinez is back.
Yeah, there's no way they can afford him.
Not unless they throw Mark Stone on LTIR again.
Well, that was legit, though.
Oh, I know. I'm not the one complaining about it, okay? Because all 32 teams have the ability to use LTIR.
Right.
It's not all the Salt Lake State Coyotes, soon wannabe whatevers, aren't spending to the floor.
We heard Bruins fans complain about Vegas doing it, and, you know, we just did it with Derek Forbert and Pat Maroon. And
you can't complain at all if you're a fan of the Maple Leafs, the Lightning, the Avalanche, the Canadiens, the Canucks, the Kings, the Capitals, the Wild, the Bruins, the Penguins, the Senators, the Rangers, the Islanders, the Flyers, the Stars, or the Devils. You cannot complain about LTIR because your team is using it too.
Yes, exactly.
Period, end of story. You cannot complain. Now, I would also make the case that if you're a fan of the Blackhawks, the Ducks, the Sabres, the Coyotes, and the Blue Jackets, you can't complain either because you're barely – well, actually, not so much the Blue Jackets. But if you're not spending to the cap floor, then you also can't complain. If you have $30 million in cap room, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, no, this is not a you problem. I would say a team that has – I don't even want to say the right to complain about it, really, because they have the option of using it. Like, the Red Wings, they have $2.8 million in cap space right now after the deadline. They don't have LTIR money being used. Okay. Now, that being said, you're also not spending that extra $2.8 that you have, so spend that first and then worry about LTIR.
Yeah. Because that extra 2.8 could have got you the extra point to get into the playoffs.
Yep. The Panthers are not using LTIR. They have $31,705 in projected cap space right now.
But they have used LTIR at some points this season.
Exactly. They used it earlier in the year. They're not using it currently, but they have used it. So nobody can complain. They will, but shut up.
Yeah. That's all I got.
By this time next week, we'll have playoff hockey to talk about.
We'll be through two games, right?
We'll be through two Bruins games and I think one Western game for some of them. I think some of them are slated to start on Monday. So,
yeah, they'll go alternating. Some will start Saturday, some will start Sunday, so that there's games every day.
We
may have a Bruins game next Wednesday, which means we should be on Tuesday.
Yes, I'll follow Twitter, and you and I'll make sure you have the info. Once we get the full schedule for the first round, then we'll pick next week's day for the show and we'll put it out there. And I'll get the link down in plenty of time.
Good.
All right. Any final thoughts other than enjoy the days off before the playoffs?
Yeah, let them get rested. Let them get some good practice time in. let them get over the video work. Examining what the Leafs like to do, what their tendencies are. Let's hope goalie Bob has a good chat with Ullmark and Swayman. And they all know by tomorrow what's happening. Whether they let the media know or let us know is a different story, like you mentioned. or whether they let the Leafs know, more importantly.
I couldn't have said it better myself. All I got left is go Bees.
Go Bees.